Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Mark chapter 14. We will be looking at verses 22 through 26 this morning. Mark chapter 14, verses 22 through 26. There, I believe the Bibles in your pew areas there are black. I can't remember for sure, but there are some. Mark chapter 14, verses 22 through 26. Last week we saw just how unprepared the disciples were for what was right up in front of them. Throughout Mark's gospel, throughout Luke's gospel, throughout Matthew's gospel, throughout John's gospel, we know that Jesus has taken the opportunity to remind them of his pending death and his resurrection. He has also reminded them through the scriptures of his betrayal as well. Even in the intimacy of the final Passover meal, they missed who the traitor was. John's gospel gives us all kinds of details that we don't see in the other three gospels. We know that Jesus actually took the morsel and gave it to Judas. But nobody was really paying attention after he said that the one who dips his bread with me is he. He also came and talked, he also spoke into Jesus' ear, and John was right there at his other ear. Not that he could hear in between, but they were right there closely. And he said to Jesus, "What are you going to do? Do it quickly." And it was at that moment that he got up and left, and the disciples didn't put the dots together. So after Judas left, that's when the Lord begins to institute the Lord's Supper. For this is the table of the Lord, which is only for baptized believers. So on this Lord Day, we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper in just a few moments. But we have Mark's account here of Jesus's, well, replacing the Passover, which was for the Jews, with the Lord's Supper for all believers. So listen to these words from Mark chapter 14, verses 22 through 26. And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Pray with me. Father, your word continues to convict us. Each of us here are familiar with the activities of Good Friday and Easter. Each of us here know the power and the transformation that comes with those events. Father, I pray that each of us here would take your word to heart and recognize the depth. In Jesus' name, amen. This passage, like Matthew's and like Luke's account, are shorter versions of what we see Paul giving to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 11. Now, there's a reason why Paul was teaching on the supper there. Because the adults in the room, if you will, were abusing the supper, even keeping the poorer ones from receiving the supper. So Paul admonishes them and reminds them of Jesus' actual teaching. Now, where does this expanded version that we find in 1 Corinthians 11 come from? Well, Paul tells us where it comes from. "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread," and so on. We'll hear the whole thing in a few moments. So this is Jesus' own teaching, on which Mark and Luke and Matthew just give a short version of. But it is actually what went on that night after Judas left, instituting the change from the Passover to the Lord's Supper. So today we're going to look at the Passover, and we're going to look at the Lord's Supper. First, let us consider the Passover that was given to the Jews as a type, looking forward to the Lord's Supper that Jesus would institute for all believers. Now, the Passover is described in various different places in Scripture, but the go-to passage, if you will, on the Passover is Exodus 12. And so that's the case. It speaks to us that the Passover was instituted by God for the Jews to remember and never forget God's bringing them out, delivering them from bondage in Egypt, just as it had been prophesied in Genesis 15 to Abram. Now, the Passover was conducted by the head of the household. Or in this case, on this night, it was Jesus who is the host and the leader of this ragtag bunch of disciples. Up to 4 cups of wine were dealt with at that meal. And a lot of bread was consumed as well. But the meal also consisted of herbs and stewed fruit, greens, and roast lamb. The first cup was given and was passed around before the meal was even brought in. Then the food would be brought in, and the youngest in the room, which probably would have been John Mark at the time, the youngest in the room would ask the question, "Why do we do this?" And the leader, or the head of the household, would explain the whole Exodus story for all who were there. And then they would sing Psalm 113, Psalm 114, and 115 in praise. Then the second cup would be passed around. Now, just before the meal was eaten, a plate of unleavened bread was lifted up with these words, "This is the bread of affliction which our fathers ate in the land of Egypt. Let everyone who hungers come and eat. Let everyone who is needy come and eat the Passover meal." Then the father would take the bread and break it off and give it to those around. The bread was usually consumed in silence, but given what had just occurred, that is, Jesus saying that the betrayer is among us, I can't imagine that that was a very quiet part of the meal, especially when Judas got up and left, to be sure. It's at that moment Jesus begins to make changes in the meal. He begins by saying, "Take, this is my body." He's saying something extremely radical here. He's saying, "I myself am the Passover bread." His life would be giving as a sacrifice for people. This moved the Passover from a memorial meal to the Lord's Supper as a means of grace. As Paul would say to the Corinthians, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So we're proclaiming what he's done, but we're also proclaiming that his death continues to secure and what his death will ultimately secure at his return. It is at this point in the Passover meal that the third cup of redemption was blessed and passed around, and they would sing Psalm 116, 117, and 118. And then they would drink the fourth cup of wine. But it was the third cup that Jesus focuses on, just like he had the bread. After he gave them the cup of redemption, which no longer looked back to the Exodus, but now looks forward to the completion of the covenant of grace, he said, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." This is the cup of the covenant of grace, sealed in his blood. Seals what was, it seals what is, and it seals what's to come because of his sacrifice he is about to make. It's a means of grace for his people. Not for everyone, but for many. only those that the Father had given him from before the foundations of the earth. Drinking the cup together, of course, expressed their communion with him now. There's one more difference in this meal than there was with the Passover at that particular moment. Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." The fourth cup that was usually brought the meal to an end, rather than ending the meal, he looks forward to the future. Until you will do this until he comes. The meal will continue as a means of grace that it will be proclaimed, his gospel will be proclaimed until he comes. It was with all of this in mind then that they went out to the Mount of Olives actually singing Psalm 116 through 118. In this simple way, Jesus replaced the Passover and inaugurated the Lord's Supper to his true church. But let's look again at the supper a little bit more. And as they were eating, he took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." Seems like a rather simple gift given to the church, but it has caused more fighting amongst God's people, more disagreement over what Jesus meant than many other doctrines. But then there's also the simple, well, you know, it's just what we do at church. We see that it's on the bulletin for next week, and it's just one more thing we're going to do. Because we really don't give it a thought very often of what we do in the midst of the Lord's Supper. What's gone on? What's it for? But we need to know what Jesus said so that we can participate correctly in the Lord's Supper. For there is a warning in the Lord's Supper when we don't participate correctly. "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats, drinks without discerning the body, eats and drinks judgment on himself." That's why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. You see, Mark highlights four key elements to the Lord's Supper. It celebrates the covenant of grace which God had made through Jesus Christ from before the foundation of the earth. It's been in force that long, but with each new administration, a little more light is shown until we get to this administration of Christ, where he is the light and all that comes forth from that. For he is our Passover lamb, sacrificed for us, as Paul reminds us. His death and resurrection accomplishes the new exodus from the bondage of sin and death. Jesus said, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." Second, the supper focuses on the attention on Jesus himself. He instituted the Lord's Supper while he was still with his disciples so that they would not get confused as to what he meant by when he said, "This is my body and this is my blood." The fact that he was present with them at the time tells us of their symbolic nature. They don't magically be transformed into his body. This passage doesn't support the position of where the humanity of the risen Lord is somehow physically in with and under the elements. He was there. As he read each section, he gave that element, whether it be bread or wine, to enable them to understand that these just represent my blood and my body. And then he states, "I will not drink it again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." So he is not physically here in any way, shape, or form since his ascension until the day he returns. and we drink together at the wedding feast of the Lamb. Principle. In the Lord's Supper, our attention is not to be focused on the bread and the wine. Our focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us the bread and the wine as the means of grace. Third thing that Mark shows us is that the supper underlines the importance of communion, of fellowship with Jesus. The sharing of the bread and wine in the Passover was a family meal of remembrance, a memorial, if you will, of what God had done. But now we're eating and drinking the bread of the Lord and the Lord's Supper that He has given, that I give in His name. Spiritually, He is with us, and we receive Him as we receive these elements as a means of grace. The supper reminds us, lastly, of the incompleteness of the Christian life. The Lord's Supper was an unfinished meal, as I said earlier. Jesus doesn't seem to drink that fourth cup. In fact, it doesn't appear that anybody did in any of the accounts, essentially leaving it on the table until He returns. The supper today is an unfinished meal because we are to proclaim the Lord's death, that is the gospel, until He comes. Like His disciples, we should rise from the supper eagerly looking forward to the day of His return when we will finally drink with Jesus physically and personally in His renewed kingdom. The sacraments instituted by Christ, water baptism first, and then the Lord's Supper, are means of grace. On one hand, they are bathed in commands. Repent and be baptized. Take, eat. Take, drink. So we are not given the option to deny ourselves these gifts. Unless, of course, we are unbaptized or we are in open rebellion. And yet He also invites us to His table to receive from Him His grace. There was a day, and I'm old enough to know that day, that when you were invited to somebody's house for a meal, you did not, unless you were providentially hindered, say no. Because to say no would be dishonoring to the host. Well, we don't understand those pieces of protocol anymore. Maybe they're not as important as they once were. But the point is that Jesus commands us, and He invites us, and He expects that we will come and that we will receive the grace that He has for us as we commune with Him in this way. Even though He's spoken of the betrayer, even though He's spoken of His own death, we know that Easter's coming for them. If only they would listen and pay attention and actually hear what Jesus was saying. In the same vein, for those of us who have ears to hear, we know that Christ's second coming is coming. That's why He continues to command us, be on your guard. Do not be alarmed. Do not be anxious. Do not be led astray. Repent and believe in the gospel. Take, eat. This is my body. Drink. This is the blood of my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. These then proclaim the gospel. They proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Pray with me. Our Father and our God, we are grateful this day for Your word that can remind us of the grace that You've given us in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. The grace that You've given us in the sacrament of covenant baptism. Father, they are all based in commands and invitations, but the command overrides all things. It wasn't a suggestion to repent and believe in the gospel. These are absolute commands. So help us as Your people receive them as commands from a loving God who wants us to grow in grace grow in identity and purpose as image bearers of God, as children of God, that we might be a blessing to those around us who are searching for answers. In Jesus' name, amen.